Good morning, everyone. My heart is filled by the grace of God. You think you sort of have an arrangement in your mind of how you're going to sort of begin the message and maybe how it might go, and like normal, that's how it was for me. And then we sat down here and we began to sing songs. Songs about higher ground and scaling the utmost height. And then we sing a song about day by day and with each passing moment. And there's a line in there that says, until I reach the promised land. Then a young brother that has possibly an hour to prepare his thoughts comes up here in a very touching way, turns his Bible to Joshua 14, and reads some of the very verses that God is going to bring to us today. And in a beautiful way, shares the message that's in my heart, and the inclination is. And then we hear all these beautiful testimonies, and after all this, the inclination is to just give that testimony, a hearty amen, praise the Lord, let's pray. Maybe you'd be disappointed by that, and maybe you wouldn't. Give me this mountain. There's a piece of real estate on a mountainside that Caleb wanted with all his heart. Everything about him wanted that piece of real estate. It was a beautiful piece of real estate. I think there was green grass and trees there. We know there was an upper and lower spring there. It was a pleasant place. I think more than just that piece of real estate, in Caleb's mind, there was a testimony of something that had to happen there, and that was the testimony that Caleb wanted in his life. Yes, he wanted the real estate. Yes, he wanted to live on that higher plane. He liked the elevation of Kirjath Arba there and that little piece of, a big piece of ground, whatever it was there, that pleasant place. But there was something he knew had to happen for him to achieve that and to arrive at that place, to take ownership of that pleasant piece of real estate, and that was the power of God. It was a power of God that went beyond his 40 years of age. It was a power of God that continued with him through the next 40 years, 45 years. And at the end of that time, he knew that at 85 years old, it was going to be the power of God that helped him conquer that mountain to receive that piece of real estate that he had set his mind and his heart on to arrive at, to achieve, to gain, to have for him and his posterity. 45 years. But continue thou. I was sitting here thinking about that title, and I hope this isn't a distraction or out of place here, but as I thought about the phrase, continue thou, for some reason I'm sitting here and I'm meditating, and I thought back to the first time I walked through these church doors and up to this pulpit. I was thinking about the difference in my heart from that day until this day. I don't think I need to go into details, but I'm ashamed of my heart of that day. It was 11 years ago in September, this past September. And then 11 years, maybe 11 years isn't very long. Caleb went 45. But I think about the blessings, if you'll allow me. This isn't flattery, this is the grace of God. I think about the blessings that have come into my life, into the life of our family. In 11 years, continue thou, is on my heart. And we're in a vulnerable spot, and we don't know what God is doing. We love the Lord. We want this piece of real estate. There's something in a young father and mother's heart they want to achieve. Not even sure what it is, but it's beautiful. We know that. It's higher ground. We know that. It's a closer walk with God. We know that. It's a future for our children and grandchildren. We know that. But what does it look like? Where is it? Who is it? How is it going to be? Those were the kind of things that we were living with there in those days. And to some degree, we always do. But those were special times. And we come here. Years have passed. And I don't know that I need to list the details of every way that we have been blessed over the last 11 years. Many, many ways. Our family in very real ways, very practical ways, and very spiritual ways have been blessed and enriched. But continue thou. And I think about God. And I think about what God is doing. This is just in the area of blessing. Relationships. Messages. Friendships. Encouragement. Truths, adjustments, all of the things that have been and continue to be. And sometimes you might wonder, and we might wonder, are we being effective? We haven't reached the real estate yet. We haven't reached the mountaintop. Here we are in the desert, walking along, Casey County, Kentucky. Really? I just wanted to share that it hasn't been wasted. And I come back here, 2025, almost over, and I look around. Yes, there's been changes, many of them. People who were here are not here. They've moved on to other church plants and so forth. People, many of you here who were not here then, have only added to the blessing as near as I can tell. And the wilderness journey continues on as we strive for higher ground. And here's just one family, one person and one family that will testify. Your faithfulness has been very impactful. Thank you. But continue thou. Maybe it doesn't feel like a mountaintop to you. But for us, sometimes it feels very close to that. I want you to know this morning that God is for us. Amen. God is on our side. As we traverse the desert, you know, he lifted each one of us who have been born again. He lifted us out of Egypt on eagle's wings. That's a picture that I love. Two different times there in the scriptures, he tells the children of Israel, I brought you out on eagle's wings. And that's just a picture that's a beautiful picture of a miraculous experience where he took some people out of a horrible, horrible environment and conditions and brought them out, no power of their own. Yes, there was obedience there. There was following there, all of those things. But there was nothing. 430 years of slavery there. Nothing they could do. They were bound by that whole, you can imagine a mental paradigm in that generation. This is where we've always been. It's where we'll always be. Just a fatalistic mentality. Eagle's wings. Here comes the Lord and lifts them out of that thing and brings them out of bondage. Amen. And there's a promised land. And you can just imagine in their hearts, we're just going to fly away to the promised land. Here we go. God brought us out. Amazing. Yeah, we put that blood on the doorpost and on the lintel there. The angel of death passed over. Power of God was evident. We went marching out of that place. Nobody even noticed we left at first. Wow. Eagle's wings. Beautiful picture. It's not long until we're treading through the desert. But God is for us. And God is doing things in those 40 years of desert journey that we don't know ourselves that he's doing in our hearts. But all along the way, here's a pillar of fire at night. Gets dark, and we don't know which direction's north and south and east and west. We don't know. There's that pillar of fire. God is there. We get up in the morning, and something heavy is on our heart. We don't know what it was. Some thoughts came to us in the night, or some conviction, or some trouble, or some challenge, or some grief for someone. And there it is. We wake up, and our hearts are heavy, and we look out. And there's a pillar of cloud right there. God is there. He says, wherever I am, that's where you want to go. God is there. Another day, more desert. Maybe not enough to drink. Wondering where the food's going to come from. But God is there. God is for us. Pretty easy, brothers and sisters, to focus on the desert. Look around. See the dry sand. Feel the burning heat. No clouds, no rain, no city within sight, bunch of troubled people around us that are murmuring and complaining anyway, grumping and grousing. Just bring us out here to die. We can focus on that. Or we can focus on the faithfulness of God. And remember the eagle's wings. And remember the promise. And you know there was a beautiful thing happened there. Caleb had a tremendous advantage. Tremendous advantage. Beautiful advantage. You've had it this week. And it's not just a... I was thinking about these remnants here. And Brother Allen said he didn't know if I'd be able to preach with all this still here. And I told him if it was too distracting, he could come and preach. And I think it's going to be okay, Brother Allen. Just rest at ease there. But Caleb had a beautiful opportunity, and you have as well. We have, all of us here. And that was, he got to go into that promised land for a few days. Isn't that beautiful? So it was only a short time they were traveling there, and they come to the brink of the promised land, and he and a few others get to go in that place and walk around and look and see it. Wow, this place is beautiful. Look at the size of the grapes. And the pomegranates, was it, or something like that? It flows with milk and honey. This place is awesome. Look at the crops and how they grow. Look at the size of the cows, Joshua. Look at this thing. I mean, you touch it, it turns to gold. It's just like a promised land. Wow. That's what Caleb saw. And he comes back out of there. And you know the story. We may go through it a little bit later. But he had that in his back pocket, so to speak. He had that in his heart. He had it. He saw it. And we've seen it. But life wasn't over for them, and because of the difficulties that developed there, Caleb went 45 more years. But he had that. He had a beautiful opportunity. And we've all had that beautiful opportunity. The eagle's wings experience. If you've been born again, made new in Jesus, you know what we're talking about. And on that day or on that time or however that worked for you, you knew there was nothing you could do. It was Jesus that lifted you out of that miry clay. And you come to weeks like this one, and you get a little glimpse into the promised land, don't you? You just imagine. I don't know how many times I've gone to meetings like this and the comments get made and they say, if we could just, it was Paul Weaver, I remember, year 2011, we were having little meetings, a little bit like this. It was a three-day meeting. We called it Hearts and Homes. And the young couples came together and we were just seeking the Lord. Is there a future for us and our families? A little bit like their, well, anyway. Paul Weaver was there, bless his heart. He came and he preached a series of messages for us. And I think it was him that said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could all just build little houses around this campus and bring our families in here? We could just live here. Just live together the rest of our lives in this environment. And the reason he said that is it was a glimpse of the promised land. Brothers and sisters were there sharing hearts. The teaching was beautiful. There was prayer together. There was glory and worship to God, the songs of praise. No different than, I'm not holding that one up, but weeks like we've just been through, a glimpse of the promised land. And you think, wow, we've surely gotten there now. We've surely gotten there. We've surely arrived. This has got to be pretty close to Kirjath Arba right here. We've seen it. Give me this mountain. And then we walk out the doors. And I talked to several young people, but one in particular sticks in my mind this week. And a young brother, not from here. He was struggling with how to make this thing work, become more alive, how he could keep it. Well, you've had those thoughts. We've all been to these meetings and we walk out here, and I guess I'll just leave that conversation. It's not necessary. But those thoughts come out over and over again. We know that when we walk out these doors into next week, I hear next Wednesday, I hear next June, I think one of them said by June we should be doing this again or something like that. But we all have our times. We know that the desert's still out there. And we know that we haven't arrived at the promised land, per se. But we got a taste of it, and we see it. The grief. Brother Ethan was sharing here. Beautiful picture there of traveling across the Western Plains. Hadn't thought of that. Mountain plains. The mountains depicting the beauty and the blessing, but there's a plain to cross to get there. The grief. Corpses, carcasses. That was the story of the children of Israel. You know that? Corpses and carcasses. One here and one there. Thousands here and thousands there. Fires and pestilences. All of those things along the way. Corpses. And that's the grief. But Caleb. And he's our inspiration today. I was also thinking of I was also thinking this morning, I was sitting here, or was at home, or there at Conrad's meditating, and I had a couple of names written down from the past of men that were men of God, that stood up and preached the Word of God, who have walked away, and they're still alive today. And I meditated longer, and I didn't share this with my wife, but because we've talked about these things, but I didn't share this, but the list, suddenly I thought of another one. And then I thought of another one. And then I thought of another one. And the list just kept growing. You wouldn't know these men. They're men from our past. But men who inspired me as a young man. They stood behind the pulpit and preached the Word of God, and they inspired me for real. I remember the last sermon that Brother Chris preached. It was a wedding sermon. And it was shortly thereafter I found out what his choices were. They were taking him. Oh, the grief. This was a man I could respect. And a man named Brian, such an inspiring brother. I mean, he was a good preacher, a good teacher. His life just made you want to do more. It's not his preaching, maybe his life too, I don't know. But his preaching just drew you. You wanted to walk with God. Talented man named Eric. Still can hear him preaching. Lord, what happened? And there's more. And you don't know these men. And so a man named Robert wasn't a preacher. He was a deacon. Divorced his wife, married another at 65 years old. Something like that. Why? The desert. The desert. Wasn't one big thing. It was many little things along the way in the desert. 45 years. And I am not following my outline, and so I'm not sure what's going to happen here. My heart is just keeps rolling here. 45 years. How many of you can remember 40 years ago? Maybe not as many in this group as it would seem like, but 40 years, several here. You think back over 40 years. So we talk about how long or how short life is. Constantly talking about that, right? Life is so short, especially as we get older. Wow, where did it go? And the older we get, the faster it goes. And well, that was a short 40 years. But you know what, really? If you stop and begin to just mark those years as they went by, and you stop and think about those last 40 years. I think back 40 years. And then just take those year by year by year. You know, 40 years is actually a long time. For the illustration this morning, it's a long time. And a lot of things change. A lot of things change. We change. Our hearts change. Circumstances change. The types of challenges we face change. Everything changes. And if the last 40 years hasn't brought more changes to the society and the country and the world we live in and the challenges that face the church than it ever has before, I don't know. A lot changes in 40 years. So now you think about a man who started out 45 years ago and he says, "Give me this mountain." Actually, he said that 45 years later, but he got his eyes set on that mountain. And for 45 years, he's walking around. And I think back over 40 years. Now, I was just a young man, a little boy, actually, at 40 years ago. But I think about everything that happened. And I don't know that I got a vision when I was 8 years old of a piece of real estate, but I can just imagine how hard would it be to keep that. How many of you that can remember 40 years ago still have a vision for a piece of real estate that you laid your eyes on then that you're still going for today? Richard, you might have. But you know what I'm saying? For a man to get a vision, so sometime this week somebody said 10 years. Go out there 10 years, young people. Go 10 years. You know what Caleb said? He didn't say, he didn't know. Without knowing it, he was saying, 45 years. Well, I don't know where I'll be in 45 years. Probably in glory. Give me that mountain. Amen? Amen? But to get a vision out in the desert, being turned back, that he held on to for 45 years. Amazing. Desert. Dry. Well, anyway, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and read these verses. Thank you for bearing with me. My brother Ethan, thank you for that opening devotion. We bless God. I asked Abner knew where I was headed here this morning. I asked him, I said, "Is there a God?" Every time this happens, when you feel like you're not sure, and a brother stands up and opens the meeting and preaches your message, my heart always goes, amen. There is a God. Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. So thankful this morning. Numbers 13. And I'm just going to do a decent amount of reading, really, just because the whole story is just inspiring the way God has it written down here. Numbers 13. Several verses starting in verse 17. And it's starting out with an and, which is a poor way to start, but it's following a list of names, the 12. You remember they got right up there next to the promised land just a couple of years into their journey, and it was time to spy out the land, and Moses, the Lord, had commanded Moses to send a dozen men into that country. Go in there and look at that beautiful place. Come back and tell us what you find. And that's what had happened here. And he named that list of hard-to-pronounce names that they were to go in there and spy out the land. Moses sent those into the land. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Go take a look. Go take a look. Just come back and tell us what it is. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years after Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes with the children of Israel cut down from thence. Imagine a cluster of grapes they put on a staff in order to carry it between two men. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They had a 40-day vacation in the land of milk and honey, beauty and blessing. They were privileged. They were privileged. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Look at this. It's amazing. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Hush! Stop! Be quiet! Hold on! Shh! Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? It's too hard. The way's too hard. You're asking too much. The mountains are too tall. The giants are too big. Everything's against us. What are you doing to us? Notice their focus. Notice their focus. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. It's an exceeding good land. Notice their focus. It's a good land. If the Lord delight in us. You know, they could have said, they ask it in a rhetorical way, they could have said, since the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Notice that little phrase, for they are bread for us. Joshua and Caleb are there. They are bread for us. That's become kind of a favorite little thing in our home, has in the past some, that little statement, for they are bread for us. You know what bread is? Bread is sustenance. Bread is nutrition. Bread brings energy. Bread brings strength. Think what all was being said when he said, they'd be bread for us. It's just like eating a meal. We're going to go in there, we're going to partake of this meal, and it's going to give us strength. It's going to give us energy. It's going to give us motivation. That's what bread does. And they were so motivated by this potential, they just said, it's like bread. It's just like bread. It's not hard to conquer a piece of bread, and when you eat it, it gives you energy and motivation. That's how they saw it. It's that simple. God's just serving us a meal. Bless his name. That was their focus. That was Joshua and Caleb. Verse 19. And again, we're breaking into a paragraph here. But pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, maybe I'm breaking into the wrong place. I'm not sure. We'll keep reading here. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. As truly as I live, and that's true yet today, young people and brothers and sisters, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. What an awful sentence. Awful sentence. All because the focus got off of the glory of God and his power, and on to all of the insurmountable obstacles, the little things along the way in the desert that turned men into corpses, just the little things. Neither shall any of them see that provoked me. But, here's the verse, but my servant Caleb, and remember, 45 years long, not 45 years standing at the base of the mountain saying, okay, one of these days it's going to be my turn. Look at that beautiful scenery. Wow, isn't that amazing? There's a waterfall. There's some green trees. There's an awesome peak. I can't wait to stand on top of that peak. He didn't spend 25 years at the foot of that mountain just gazing at that mountain and imagining and wondering and thinking how beautiful it was going to be as he sat there on the front porch of his little shack or his tent there at the base of the mountain just twiddling his thumbs waiting for the years to pass while he viewed the beauty of the mountain. That's not how it was. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he had a different spirit. He had a spirit that was connected to God. We don't know very much about him. We know his dad's name is. We don't know very much about him, but we know that he was connected to God. He was one that did not forget the eagle's wings. He did not forget the bitter water turned sweet. He did not forget the hunger pangs that were filled with manna day by day. He did not forget the way the quail came when the need was there. He did not forget the fact that he was still wearing the same shoes that he had been for days and days and months and years and they hadn't worn out, and his clothes the same way. He did not forget it. He did not forget the awful conditions of Egypt. He was one that had a different spirit. He is one that saw the angel, death angel, pass over, and he saw the redemption of God lifting his people out of that horrible pit, the miry clay of Egypt. And he did not forget. He was going for something. Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto we went. He went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The Lord spake unto Moses, he says, okay, turn around, go back. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Listen to this. Think about Ethan's opening here. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Isn't that amazing? You brought us out here so our little ones would die. And he says, no, no, not your little ones. It's going to be you. Because of your unbelief, and because of your murmuring and complaining, and because of your doubt, and because of your disregard for the power of God, your little ones are going to make it, but not you. A different spirit followed me fully. Followed me fully. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't say followed me when there was a great big task that needed done and I could really show my power. It followed me fully. That meant every little thing. Every morning, every day, every noon, the little things, whatever they were that they had to deal with there in that wilderness. Three more times in Numbers, three different places, he talks about the fact that all of you are going to be destroyed except Joshua and Caleb. So now we turn to Joshua, where we were in our opening here this morning. Joshua 14. Don't want to be redundant necessarily, but at the same time, I would like to continue with my plan to read those. Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. Then came the children of Judah. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now the years have passed. Now the wilderness journey is behind us. Without spending a lot of time there right now, the wilderness journey is past. We're back at the foot of the mountain again. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Can you say that, brothers and sisters? I want to be able to say that. I wholly followed the Lord my God. 45 years later, he's standing and saying, Joshua, remember what Moses said? Remember what he told you and me? We're going to make it. What did we do? We wholly followed him, didn't we, Joshua? I wholly followed the Lord. What a commitment. What a testimony. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. God was faithful these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old, children. 85 years old. Do you know anybody that's 85? We do, don't we? Think about that person. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. The time has come. That little piece of real estate there in Kirjath Arba, that little piece of real estate has only improved in the last 45 years. It's only gotten more beautiful. The trees have gotten more mature. The flowers are blooming only brighter. Yes, the sons of Anak, and Sons Incorporated still inhabit the city there. They're there. The forest is probably as big, maybe bigger. More grandchildren of Anak yet. It still names the three, but the family's only grown. The power's only gotten stronger against the Lord. But give me this mountain, says Caleb. Can you imagine? I don't know how many of you are looking at 85 like it's coming up pretty fast, but I am. I'm nowhere close to 85, but I'm telling you, It's less than 40 years away. I don't have 45 years anymore. And I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to have the strength and the stamina to go out there. And we rolled into Brother Lewis's place for just a minute yesterday to check on what the mica and the wood cutting there to see what was happening. And I told my wife, there was they were all busy out stacking. There was the splitters and the logs and the wood. I said, I almost feel like getting out there and splitting some wood, cutting some wood again. She said, that's an improvement. Now, you all know what's happened the last few years. Bless God, we trust in Him. But wow, wouldn't it be something to 85 years old to still be saying, give me that mallet or that splitting maul. Give me that maul. Let me have at it. I'd like to split a bunch of wood today. 85 years old. I don't know any 85-year-olds that I can think of that would be doing that physically. But Caleb was here. Give me this mountain. Here I am. I'm still ready to go out to war just like I was when I was 40. Bless God. Give me this mountain. Talk about mountains for just a little bit. You know, the size of a mountain is relative. My daddy's parents, my grandparents on my daddy's side lived in California. My dad was raised in California. And so they're in California, and between here and there, the Colorado, the Rocky Mountain Range is there. And then west of them is the Sierra Nevada range of mountains. And they lived in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas is where they lived, in the San Joaquin Valley. And so trips into the mountains were pretty common, into the Yosemite Valley up through there. But those were mountains. Some of the highest peaks, Ethan referenced them already this morning, but 14,000 was not uncommon. That's 14,500 feet, foot mountains there on the horizon, and so forth. Well, anyway, years passed, and quite a few years later, they wound up living in the Smoky Mountains in Georgia, and North Georgia there, close to Tennessee. And I remember going down there and visiting them, and my grandmother was amused at how the local people talked about mountain so-and-so and this mountain over there. She would shake her head and chuckle. She said, those aren't mountains. Those are just little hills. Because they're down in the Smokies, you know, if there's a 3,000-foot change in elevation, it's not uncommon, but that's about as big as it gets. The highest above sea level is only 6,000 feet above sea level. And so when you're used to seeing 14,500, it looks like a little hill. Well, you know, that's what Caleb was doing. He saw a mountain, and he called it a mountain. He said, give me this mountain. But you know, that's what he was doing. He was seeing a mountain, the mountain of God. That's what he was seeing. And when he saw the mountain of God, this little thing here with Kirjath Arba and that little Mount Hebron, that was just a little hill. That was just a little hill. And that's how we got to see it, brothers and sisters. We got to see life in that way. We see all these big hurdles, these challenges we have in our life, the temptations, the testings, the real things. Leave temptation aside. Even that's a big thing. That's real, but real things. You know, there's accidents. There's health challenges. There's unfortunate things that people do to each other in the world today. And it's outside of our control many times, and they're real. Those things are real, but they're just little hills compared to the mountain of God. And that was the difference in Caleb's life. He was seeing, when he looked at that mountain, Mount Hebron, there in the backdrop above that thing was something a lot bigger than that. A lot like David out there in the Valley of Elah when he saw that giant. There was a giant standing there, but he saw something a lot bigger than a giant. In his eyes, he was seeing the glory of God. Caleb simply saw that mountain as a little hill beside the mountain of our God. As I think back to that list of men I was giving you, and you all have them in your lives as well, actually, as they walk away from God, or from truth, you know, I think we could all would agree that it's not really a mountain that took them away. Not one big mountain, but many little things. like those 40 years in the wilderness and all the unexpected challenges and all the just the trouble that came there and the testing. You know, all the Israelites planned to arrive in the Promised Land. They left Egypt. They were planning to arrive, every one of them, just like we are here in this room. I think there's not a soul sitting here. I'm not going up down the ridge just taking total stock, but I don't think you'd be here if you weren't planning to arrive in the Promised Land, if that wasn't your goal. So everyone here is planning to arrive. They were all planning to arrive. Think about it, brothers and sisters. It sobers our hearts. He who thinketh that he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. They're planning to arrive. I'm planning to. But they didn't make it. Will you? 40 years of wilderness travel. They were all saved out of Egypt to walk with God and his people. Every one of them, just like you and I. But only Caleb and Joshua made it. All the events and challenges, we'll go into many more details there. So I'm just going to tell us this morning, the mountain of God, I believe, represents God's promise claimed. It represents fulfillment of his will in our life. It represents victory over flesh and sin. In my life, as I get older, it represents a lineage of faith. That's a mountain to me, to see grandchildren walking with God. Give me this mountain. I want that mountain. Caleb caught a vision, something that gave him enthusiasm, energy, faith, courage, and commitment that no matter the cost, he was going to claim that promise. All Christians want the mountain. All of them. This world is full of Christians, and they all want this mountain. We all want this mountain. But the culture of our day wars against that thing in every way. The culture of our day says no definition, no decisiveness, no diligence. And then claims the mountain, it continues to fall apart, and yet we still don't learn. Don't tell me there's more definition. Don't tell me that I have to be decisive and committed. Don't tell me that I've got to be diligent. They that diligently seek him get the reward. Don't tell me any of that stuff. As I feel, that's what I'll do. Isn't Jesus a God of love? Isn't he a loving Jesus? It's all about Jesus. It's all about his love. I don't need these things. I'll make it. And it continues to fall apart. Like, there's no mountain claimed. I just want to look briefly at some of the things that Caleb lived through and never yet lost his vision, 40 years. I believe Caleb could have not made it. Let me say that a different way. I believe Caleb had every opportunity not to make it, just like all of the other people. Look at Moses. Mighty man. Meekest man on the earth. Chosen of God. Used of God in a mighty way. Succumb to the flesh there in a moment, and he got to look, but he didn't get to enter. You know, I don't know what Caleb thought when the people regrouped after that day and says, okay, we're going to go on our own and we're going to do it. Remember right after that, I didn't read those verses, but right after the spies came back and God's judgment was proclaimed on them and it said, turn back, these people said, no, we'll just go do it. Caleb, I suppose, was probably tempted. God had said, you're going to get that mountain. Caleb could have entered those ranks of people that went and said, we're going to do it on our own. He could have. He was right there. It was surrounding him. The pressure was there. Can you imagine the politics that were going on? Hey, are you going? Are you going? Hey, we've got to do this. Look, Moses, Aaron, come on. Hey, let's go. God promised us this land. Let's go do it. The pressure put on their friends. Join us. Come on. Caleb probably received that pressure. Listen, God knows. He'll help us. You ever get pressure from your friends to take the land on their own? Murmuring and complaining against Moses and Aaron and God. Do you suppose that Caleb's stomach was hungry when the other people's stomachs were hungry? I sure was. He was human, just like the rest of us. That promise that you're going to get this mountain didn't take him away from reality. The reality was he still fought every battle, wrestled with other people, had all the temptations to murmur and complain. The water that was bitter to him too. When there wasn't water, he didn't have water. When there wasn't food, he didn't have food. When the snakes were biting people, they were biting him too. Maybe. He was among those people. Caleb had that opportunity. You know, when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, when Korah rose up and said, your authority. What? Why do you think you should be so great among us? Aren't some of the rest of us called of God too? We even got a good lineage. Moses, Aaron, who do you think you are? Think about what was going through Caleb's mind. Really? You know, I don't have their lineage, but God did tell me that I was important enough that, I mean, think about the temptations. You're going to get that mountain. If anybody in this congregation, I mean, Joshua and I are the only ones that are going to get, God said, you know, we're important. He could have. Caleb, if any people, would have had the right to say, I think I'm important enough to kind of rise up against Moses and Aaron too. But he didn't. Rebellion against God's chosen authority. What about when Balaam come along? Here's a man standing over the congregation of Israel, and Balak's sitting there saying, curse him, curse him. Balaam couldn't do it. I'm not going to tell a long story here, but Balaam couldn't do it. But what he did is he says, you know what? Here's what you do. You just start mingling with, just marry some of their people. Maybe just go to some of their pleasant get-togethers. Just enjoy some of the tasty things they enjoy. Just mingle just a little bit. Just mingle a little bit with worldliness, with the way the world does things. Caleb could have done that. Caleb could have said, well, I'm getting that mountain anyway. Why not enjoy the flesh a little bit while I'm at it? Why not? Caleb could have done that. He suffered with them through battles, through thirst, through hunger, through fiery serpents, and so forth. And yet he never rejected God's plan or God's will. He had an ongoing yearning, a vision, and a purpose that that through the challenges and changes of life that kept him faithful. There's a couple passages in the New Testament we could turn to. I think I'll just turn to one of them. There's one in Colossians about continuing in the faith. The one I'm thinking of now is in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you all know the context here, or 3, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. It's some of those famous verses that are so easy to quote, so to speak. We're very familiar with them, at least the way they flow. I wonder how familiar we are in our hearts sometimes. The passage I'm looking at is verse 14, but it's prefaced with those famous verses, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so forth. It comes through that whole entire list of awful things that happened in the last days. And brothers and sisters, we live in the last days, there's no question about it, and we certainly live in perilous times. I don't say that to make us fearful, I say that to make us committed. We live in perilous times. Yes, we do. And it's not just perilous. Because it's perilous, it's because it's so subtle and because it's so deceptive and because there's so many voices. Perilous times. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's one of the burdens I have coming off of a week like this one, in my own heart, in the heart of my children, in the heart of you all, in the heart of God's kingdom. But continue thou. This little fire that's burning in your hearts today that's coming off of that week, you have to continue to feed it. One of the things that I told that young man was, if you want to feed this right here, you go out and take what you've learned and you put it to work out there. And bless you, you'll be surprised at how much, as you give energy and spirit and life to others, how much filling you get yourself out of that, and how you almost have a personal revival every time you reach out, or every time you bless, or every time you give, or you do something for God's glory or for somebody else. You get a little revival again. You don't have to sit through a week of meetings to get that and to maintain it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou. A lifetime is long. With a lot of unexpected changes, are you going to claim the mountain? Christians everywhere are walking through life's wilderness alone, against anything that looks like structure or having authority, against anything that might mean giving my life and will for others, redefining God's will, indulging in cohabiting with worldliness. You know, accepting Christ as Savior and getting born again doesn't seem to be the problem in our day. Yes, the need is there, and some have that hurdle. But that doesn't seem linguistic, or at least in our speech, that doesn't seem to be the problem. Angels' wings, we all like to claim that. Yep, lifted out of my sins. Yep, Jesus saves me. Amen. But walking out God's will for his saints, might be closer to the problem. Walking through the wilderness, day by day and with each passing moment. Day by day and with each passing moment. Whether strength I find in the Lord or whether I don't, it's still day by day and with each passing moment. And that's how erosion works. A little at a time, day by day, it wears away, it wears away, and wears away. And that's why Timothy, another place in Timothy, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's against that eroding downward trend. Walking out God's will for his saints might be closer to the problem. Trusting, obeying, and persevering. I'm going to give six simple things that aren't necessarily popular that will help us. And you may notice that I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about spending time with Jesus in that way. I want you to know that's in place. Worship, I'll just be honest with you, the first series of the day this week was probably what came the closest to my deepest need. Spending time with God in a very real way. And some of those not so new ideas, but there's just refreshing ways of looking at the Word, of shaping prayer time. That was some of my deepest need. I'm very thankful for that. And so that's there. I'm not negating. This is just more practical things. Because when I think of men that I know who are like Caleb, I know some men that are like Caleb. Yes, I do. When I think of men like that, I see some of these things in their lives. Men like Caleb, who in their old age are faithful, are conquering mountains. Maybe not with physical strength, but faithful and on fire. Men whose children and grandchildren are walking with God. I hope you have people like that in your life. I do, and I'm thankful. But when I think of them, these are some of the things that I think about. And in his way, I think Caleb walked these ways as well. It's a 40-year walk. It's wilderness walk, and if we're going to make it for 40 more years, we're going to need some things to go with us. Okay, so these are Jesus is with us. We're all walking with Jesus, right? We're reading the Word of God. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. We're spending time in his presence now. The first one is this. Identify with God's people in a local church brotherhood. Be unashamed and loyal. Be unashamed and loyal. I would like to shout that information at you, but somehow I sense this morning that maybe it'll reach you a little deeper if I just plead with you. Be unashamed and loyal. No group is perfect. No group is perfect. I'm unashamed to say that. No group is perfect. But the happiest Christians I know, the happiest ones, the most content ones, the most courageous ones, the most constant ones, the ones who I look to as an example, they're happy to identify clearly with their brotherhood family. Clearly. Not questionably, not is it possible or could it be, but clearly identify with their brotherhood. Caleb might have wanted not to. Can you imagine? Here I am, a faithful man, wholly following God, a different spirit in me, and I got to keep walking with this bunch of people? Seriously. Come on, God, isn't there a better group I could walk with? Where's the other people like me? I'd like to have 100 people like me. And maybe he wasn't thinking about himself so much, but 100 people that wholly follow God, 100 people who have a different spirit in them, 100 people who have a vision and they're going to go for it. I'd like to identify with that brotherhood. There's got to be one out there that's better than this. There's got to be one where people don't murmur and complain. There's got to be one where ... But not Caleb. 40 more years. One foot in front of the other. Hungry, thirsty, tempted to murmur and complain because that's what the culture... He identified clearly with his brotherhood, God's call on his life. Wasn't perfect. You would all agree with me. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, what is that? You know, I'm not going to call it any culture. We're not an old culture. We don't have an old traditional culture here, okay? So how do I do that? You know, if I was just a part of a culture that was 20 generations old, you know how those are. There's a good bit of things that you can really identify with. You know, if you do this, 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 and this, you'll fit in, you'll be there, not too many questions asked. You know you're doing all the right things, you identify. You're identifying clearly. That's not all bad. Identifying with those known things is good. But you might wonder here this morning, how can I do that here? Well, I'm just going to give you a clue. I had a conversation with a young person this week, a couple different times, several different times, and that was one of the questions they were struggling with. It seems like that I have a vision that seems a bit different than a lot of the young people in my circles, and even the young people. I thought I would come here and the vision here would be more like mine, and I'm finding that maybe it's not. What should I do? So we talked once, and then we talked again, and I went back to them again, and I said, you know, I'll tell you what. I said, do you have a brotherhood at home? And I knew he did, but yeah, I do. I said, do you appreciate that brotherhood? Yeah, I do. I said, what about your ministry? Do you appreciate your ministry and their vision? He thought he did. I said, tell you what you do. I said, you can go out here and you can talk to 10. I told him you can talk to 10 different ministers in this group. And you might get a lot of similar answers, but you might get 10 different ones about what to do with this dilemma you're talking about. And now what are you going to do? You see, you've got access to transportation and information, and that's why you're so discontent. That's what I told him. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You go home, you go to your ministers, and you take all these questions you just asked me, you ask them, and whatever they tell you to do, you just do it. And you will be identifying with your brotherhood. It's not because your ministers are some god or because they're so perfect, but God, we're not. I'm the neediest of everybody in my church. I'll just tell you that right now. However, God has put, Brother Leonard did this better than I can, but God has put something there that helps us come together. It's not because it's perfect, but that represents something in your life where you can all go to and say, what's the vision of my church? I'd like to be in the middle of that. Anyway, I didn't mean to go so long on that subject, but identify clearly with your brotherhood family. And if you don't know how to do it, go talk to somebody like your ministers in your church. How can I be more in tune with the church here? And just do it. And just do it. Be committed through thick and thin. Have you ever been tempted to just give up? It's just too confusing. It's just too painful. People can't be trusted. I've been there. And getting older doesn't make that temptation go away. Older men, just worn out. This point says, be committed through thick and thin. Nowhere did God say when he took him out of Egypt, I'm going to make it all go easy for you. I don't know where Caleb was through all that murmuring and complaining, but life holds misunderstandings. Life holds things that are unfair. There's challenges that we don't have any control of. There's envy we heard about the other night. There's false accusation. Those kind of things happen, unfortunately, in a congregation like Israel. Be committed through thick and thin. A lifetime is a long time, and there will be plenty of opportunity just to throw in the towel. Have you ever heard that term, throw in the towel? I don't know where it came from, but it's one we use, just chuck it. Just chuck it. You know, for me, my temptation has never been to walk away from my idea that I believe in God. But sometimes it's to walk away from people, because people can't be trusted. People hurt you. People misunderstand you. People are hard to get along with. Just chuck it. Be committed through thick and thin. I'm here to testify, no matter what those circumstances are, keep going, and God's going to do something beautiful. I already told you that 11 years ago, I can still see it. I hope none of you remember that. But the spirit that I approached this with, I was sitting there repenting this morning, the spirit that I approached that day with was not well. God does something in those years. And it's not usually by just pouring out more ease. He uses the wilderness. Use the thick and the thin both. Lifetime's a long time. There'll be plenty of opportunity to throw in the towel. Many children are ruined because dad just keeps throwing in the towel and running to something different. I'm sure Caleb wanted to flee. I am sure he did. I am sure of it. If Caleb was human, which he was, and he was in his 40s and above, which he was, I understand Caleb's mind and heart just a little bit. I'm sure he wanted to get out of there so bad. Be committed through thick and thin. Be ready to make adjustments for others' concerns. And I don't have a Caleb illustration for this, so I wrestled with even sharing it, and yet it seems it's here. Maybe it won't make a lot of comments. Be ready to make adjustments for others' concerns. Even a casual look at short history shows the demise of many families where a self-protective and independent spirit has stood in the way. And many of you have shared testimony of that from this past week, what Lord is doing in our hearts. Thank you for that. Shun worldliness. And again, I already talked about the doctrine of Balaam, so I don't necessarily need to speak on that some more anymore. Shun worldliness, the illustration, Caleb's life was the doctrine of Balaam. Caleb had that to deal with. As the worldliness began to blend with the children of Israel there, they began to worship at the same altar here and there, and they began to marry some of those worldly women. You know, you'd say, well, I'm not going to do those kinds of things, but you know, there's worldly attitudes, worldly ways of addressing situations, and worldly choices. We all know that. You hear that here. We hear that at home a lot. And thank the Lord for that, because the world certainly has a draw on our flesh. But Caleb stood through that. Give me this mountain. There's a piece of real estate that he wanted more than he wanted to feel good with the world, in the world. Another one, give appreciation and respect for the authority and organization God has placed in your life. We all have insight and good ideas. I'm sure Caleb did, yet he submitted through the years and claimed his promise. Every one of us here has a good idea. You know, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they thought they did. You know, I was thinking, I didn't look this up, but was Caleb named among those judges that were called on to help Moses there in his tiredness when Jethro came and said, here, you need to set up some help here, and so he did. I don't think Caleb was named among those as one of the elders of Israel, as one of the judges. I might be wrong. But I'm imagining that Caleb probably thought, well, I've got some good ideas. I've got the blessing of God on my life. God's told us we're going to make it. I've got some good ideas. I'll share those. And you might have some good ideas. This point just simply says, give appreciation and respect for the authority and organization God has placed in your life. And there's a right way to advance your ideas. Brother Leonard covered that the other night. But just simply honoring authority. That's what Caleb was doing. Whatever God said through Moses and Aaron, that's what Caleb did. Moving on to the next one. Be willing to be an unnoticed yet enthusiastic part. An unnoticed yet enthusiastic part. I've often wondered about Caleb and Joshua. The Bible says that these two are going to make it, Joshua and Caleb. And then Joshua begins to become a special friend of Moses. He was a servant there in the tent for a while, and he's his right-hand man. It's almost like we like to do sometimes. God seems like there's a call on somebody's life, and so we sort of maybe give him more opportunities. And here was Joshua getting all those opportunities because it was evident the call of God was on his life. And Joshua got to go up in the mountain with Moses. Joshua got to, you know what I'm saying? And here's Caleb. It was Caleb and Joshua. What about me? What about me? What about me? Joshua's getting all the attention. Moses dies. Joshua's the commander. What about me? All we hear about Caleb was he was faithful. He was faithful. At the end of his life, he went to Joshua just like he would have went to Moses. Joshua, in all honor and respect, Joshua, remember what Moses said? Do you remember Joshua? Moses said, I could have this mountain. Here, give it to me. Give me this mountain. Unnoticed, yet enthusiastic part. He didn't get to the end of that and say, well, since I didn't get any glory, I guess I'll just take whatever falls to me when I get there, whatever. probably, no, he got to the end of that thing, and the 85-year-old enthusiasm rolled on him. He says, give me this mountain. I'm just as strong as I ever was. I'm just as excited as I ever was. I was just as ready to conquer as I ever was. I'm still ready to roll. You know how envy and jealousy can eat at us and chew us up and take all the energy away from us? Not Caleb. I see him there behind Joshua. Go, Joshua. Go, go, Joshua. I'm right here with you. I'm behind you. I can see him going out among the people saying, hey, Joshua's the new leader. Joshua, listen to him. Go for it. We're going to go. That's Caleb. Give me this mountain. Rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be a pillar in the church, a living stone, just a part of the whole. Brothers, none of this was very deep here today, but as we come off of a boot camp, I think about continue thou. But continue thou. And here's Caleb. You might think, well, maybe I can make it till next boot camp. Maybe I can live on this for a year. Or maybe till the Bible school that's coming up. And then from there to, I don't know if there'll be family meetings here this year, but till that one. And then, you know what I'm saying? But no, Caleb was 40 and 5 years. 10 years, that's fine. But let's go for 45, shall we? Very simple. Not deep. But sometimes they challenge us Christians at the hardest places. And that's, I did name the three sons of Anak. I thought I would share that as well. The three sons of Anak have names. The Bible tells us what they are, but you know what these giants are in our life? First son of Anak is self-will. The second son of Anak is self-esteem. And the third giant is self-pleasure. Self, self, self. That's the giant. You know it's not other people. It's not circumstances. It's self. I see Joshua. Read these, or Caleb, read these again one more time here in Joshua. I see Caleb. Went ahead and closed my Bible away from that spot. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Brothers and sisters, I continue to be burdened by this question of why faithful people walk away from God bit by bit. I want this mountain. Leonard touched me so much the other night, he says, I went back in the fight. Remember him saying that? I told several brothers this week, I don't know if I'm quite there, but I want to want to. I want to be back in the fight. Give me this mountain. I want this mountain. I will join Caleb. Jesus said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I think I'll just close with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10 is there where he talks about the wilderness journey. And somewhat makes it an analogy for us. He talks about all of these men that did eat the same spiritual drink, spiritual rock. Many of them God was not well pleased. They were overthrown, all those things. And then he comes to verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for an ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. All these things were written for ensamples. And we can focus on all the children of Israel and their complaining and murmuring. But this morning, I just want us to think about Caleb. He was written for our ensample, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The example of Caleb, faithful through 45 years, journeying with imperfect people through terrible circumstances, challenges, question marks, famines, serpents, all of those things. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And he said to his dying day, give me this mountain. Young people, you're only 15, 16, 20, 25, whatever you are. You're not 40 even yet. I just trust. Life is long. As short as life is, it's very long. I just know that you're going to make it. But I don't want you to know that yet. Can I say that in the right way? What we just read was, let him that thinketh. You know, I was talking with my wife just the other day. Sorry. About some failures that most of us know about. And I said, I said, you know, honey, it could be me. No. She said, no, it, you know. I said, but honey. And I gave a few illustrations where, you know, the challenge was there. And you know, we stop and we repent. I said, it could be me. It needs to sober us, brothers and sisters. 40 years is a long time. I don't know if there's anything you can do today that guarantees you that mountain, except you have today. And tomorrow you have today. And the next day you have today. And you start every day, give me this mountain. It's all I know to do. Ask the Lord. Ask others. My heart just continues to go, but the Lord be with you and bless you. Our desire is that our children, our grandchildren, and forever, people in our lineage would be saying, give me this mountain. Be faithful, brothers. God bless you.